Welcome to part 5 of the Foundation Series, the place for those of you who are serious about building a business. In the first 4 parts of this series, we tackled the legal, tax, and accounting responsibilities of properly building a business. Now I'm going to switch gears and delve into the basics of how you properly market your business, and the concepts I'll discuss apply to whether you work for yourself or work for somebody else. Let's get started. Roger Pearson here, where we talk about all the basics of building a business. My objective is to not help you become an expert in any one particular type of marketing, but to provide you the broad knowledge that will allow you to create a marketing plan for your business. Without a comprehensive plan that looks at all the available choices, you could be missing a vital part of advertising that could cost you thousands of dollars in lost revenue. But before we get started, make sure you jot down any questions you may have and remember to post them in the comments section and hit the subscribe button to let me know that you want to see more of this type of business training. When most people think about marketing, they equate it to being the who, what, when, where, and why of a product. Who is selling this great thing? What a fantastic product it is and all its selling features. That it's a limited time offer. Where you need to rush to buy it. Why it is just the perfect thing for you to buy. If you go to a traditional marketing school, you will learn how to write ad copy, produce TV or radio commercials, or design all those suggestive magazine ads. But let's face it, we are bombarded with so much advertising these days that our eyes and brains tend to glaze over most of it. It takes something pretty clever, cute, or out of the ordinary anymore to catch people's attention. There are very few campaigns where people actually will stop fast-forwarding to watch the commercial. Of course, I know a lot of people who like to see what the Geico Gecko is going to do next. Some people are still asking why Taco Bell got rid of the Chihuahua, if you're old enough to remember that ad campaign. But these successes are far and few between. If you've got a $1 million budget and have time to create an image, then you're probably not concerned about learning this, since you can hire somebody else to do it. For the rest of us, starting a small business means that we have a much smaller budget and not much time to start making a profit. We don't have time to go out and beat people over the head with our product or service. Now, I'm not suggesting all of the traditional advertising media is bad. I am saying that a small business person needs to change their thinking on how to use them. I'm going to discuss how to design a marketing campaign that will have people calling you and asking to do business with you. I'm going to discuss the principles that you should judge any marketing you are thinking of running against. You will find this recurring theme throughout all of the marketing courses. If you have watched the first 4 episodes in our Foundation series, then you're a lot further ahead than most people who want to go into business for themselves. By now, you know where you're going, and you're committed to getting there no matter what. You know that you have everything you need to be successful if you will just act upon it. Most people do not fail because of a poor product or service. Well, there are exceptions, but because they don't know how to market. They do not know how to get people's attention through all the noise of daily life. They do not know how to stand out from their competition. That's because they're using the same tired advertising methods everybody else is using. What do most brick and mortar or offline marketers do? They hand out business cards, put flyers in cars, take out ads in community newspapers, ask for referrals, and then put door hangers on my door. I get so much stuff hung on the door and in the mailbox, I don't even read them anymore. They all say about the same thing, do business with me because I'm better. They go straight into the trash. They never give me a reason to want to contact them. And the same is true with network marketers. They go to all of the meetings, make their lists or buy leads, shove all the great company produced literature at people or about how great their products are compared to the competition. And with network marketing moving to the internet, the problem has gotten even bigger because now everybody seems to be promoting a super special secret system that will make you rich overnight. None of these methods will make you a ton of money for the long term. A lot of people have trouble imagining themselves as salespeople. They can't imagine themselves shoving a product in somebody's face and saying, "Buy this." And that's not really what salesmanship is all about. We're all salespeople. The teacher has to sell her way of teaching to our students. The employee has to sell his worth to his boss to get that raise. The parent has to sell discipline to the child. Every single day of our lives, we're selling our viewpoints and way of thinking to others. So if being a salesperson has a negative connotation in your mind, get rid of it. You're a salesperson, whether you like it or not. It's just how you go about it that makes the difference. Many people believe that marketing and sales are the same thing. First cousins maybe, but not identical twins. If you take any sales training, you'll find that one of the basic premises that you're taught is that the fastest way to get rich in life is to solve other people's problems. Find out what your prospects need or their desires are, and then show them how your product or service can solve that. Or how to change your sales approach so that it looks like it will solve their problems. This whole process is intended to build a relationship with a potential client so that they feel that you have their best interest at heart. After all, every good salesman knows that selling has nothing to do with the product or service. It's all an emotional decision. How many times have you just had to buy something, even though your brain told you not to spend the money? I think we've all done that. Nobody who buys a drill actually wants a drill, they want a hole. Therefore, if you want to sell drills, you should advertise information about making holes, not information about drills. The best salespeople are able to read people and find out what they really want. The life insurance salesman sells security and peace of mind. The vacuum cleaner salesman sells pride in a clean home. The big screen TV salesman sells the awe your friends are going to be in when they come over to watch football. People don't buy products or services. They buy the feelings those things invoke. A good salesman will take your wants and mix in a dose of urgency. The encyclopedia salesman will tell you that your children's education will be lacking unless you buy this product now. The traveling cookware salesman at the county fair will tell you that this great deal is only available for the few days he is there. The car salesman will tell you that there are only two left at this closeout price. The online web page tells you that if you buy today, you'll get 5 extra bonuses. Since no money is made until a product or service is sold, you will need to learn how to read people. You will need to learn how to invoke emotions at times. You'll need to learn how to build that sense of urgency. You will need to learn how to build those relationships of trust with clients. If you learn nothing more than to sell emotions instead of products or services, your income will improve dramatically. The trouble with conventional ad campaigns and sales techniques is that they aren't very good at getting the prospective client to talk to you in the first place. When they finally do, you've only got a few minutes to overcome the person's natural skepticism. Then you need to build their trust. You have to create a sense of urgency and close the sale. And if you've done everything right, you are able to create a trust relationship that will result in your new customer doing business with you again. Can you imagine how your business would grow if all your employees or the people in your organization had these skills? Can you imagine the repeat business? Can you imagine the referrals? But very few people are really good at selling products or services. The "Can I help you?" question most salespeople ask in stores is mainly meant to help you locate something. So now you've got the problem of getting people in the door and the problem of people not having a reason to return. There's got to be an easier way to solve the problem, and there is. But to get to that point, we need to review 3 basic concepts. The first one is, marketing your business has nothing to do with your product or service. Now you're probably saying, how in the world can that be? Remember back to our conversation about how people buy with their emotions instead of their heads? We're not selling products or services, we're selling emotions. Therefore, our marketing program needs to be based on that. Most are. Look at the TV commercials and magazine ads closely. Behind every good one, you will find the emotion that they are trying to invoke in you. The problem is that most businesses stop at this point, which doesn't address the bigger challenge. Successful companies need repeat customers and referrals. Good managers know that the best way to do that is to provide outstanding service to their customers. They attempt to hire and train people who would be best at showcasing those traits. This is one of the differences between a decent manager and a great manager. Let me illustrate my point by giving you some examples. You go into a restaurant and the waiter takes the time to explain about a dish you're not familiar with, what ingredients are in it, how it's cooked and served. Contrast this to the restaurant that you go in and are handed a menu, the waitress comes and professionally takes your order and delivers it. Which restaurant would you remember best? You go to a local hardware store and ask how you solve the problem. The associate takes the time to explain what you need, how to install it, and what to avoid to prevent a mistake. Contrast this to the home superstore where the associate walks you over to the right section of the store and shows you the parts you need to fix your problem. Which store would you remember best? You go to a local meat market and the butcher takes the time to explain the different cuts of meat and how to cook the less expensive cuts to save money. Contrast this to the megastore where all of the meals are lined up in a row in nice plastic packages and the butchers are back behind big glass windows. Which store would you remember best? If you're like most people, you would probably choose the first option in each scenario. Have you figured out why? This brings me to my second concept. Teaching sells. It's no more complicated than that. The holy grail of running a successful business is to have people knocking on your door and asking to do business with you. Instead of worrying about making lists, cold callings, warm markets, and asking for referrals, word has gotten around that you're the person to talk to. One way businesses are trying to accomplish this is through what is called viral marketing. Large corporations are hiring people to go out into the offline and online communities to talk about how great their products are in an attempt to get people talking about it and telling others about it. The theory being that you're much more likely to try a product that's referred by a friend than just hearing about it on TV. When these viral campaigns work, a product or service can become a huge success almost overnight. The problem is that they are artificially contrived. They may get a lot of people to look at your product, but if it doesn't have all the other factors to bring them back, the buzz will fade really fast. What you need is a way to create a viral campaign that keeps on growing, a way to create a marketing campaign that naturally keeps growing because it's perceived ongoing value. And the best way to do this is by learning how to teach others. Most people love to learn. In fact, if you did a study, you would find that the best customers, the best employees, the best prospects, or the best distributors are the ones that love to learn. The equation why this is successful is quite simple. Teaching equals trust, which equals repeat business and referrals. I guess I've always been fortunate in that I've always enjoyed teaching people. It seems that the longest lasting and most enjoyable jobs I ended up in, I'd find myself in some teaching position. And the more I taught, the faster up the ladder I found myself going. But it seemed that when I finally made it up to the management level and got so busy in paperwork that the teaching stopped and turned over to others, the job fell apart for some reason. I never really understood why until I started seriously studying marketing. Then it started making sense. When you're a teacher, number one, you have to learn the subject better than your students. Number two, your students and prospects see you as experts. Number three, the experts in our society are considered leaders. Four, human nature moves us towards those we consider leaders. When I was on the floor teaching people, they perceived me as the expert and were willing to belong to my team and let me lead them to the desired result. Once I moved to an office with a door on it, I lost that connection and the loyalty that came with it. When new procedures came down from upper management, I would hand them to supervisors and tell them to implement them. I stopped learning and stopped teaching and found myself eventually replaced by someone who understood these principles better. Now I know that as your business grows, you will need to start delegating. As you climb the corporate ladder, others will take your place, and that's fine as long as you become their teacher and instruct them to teach others. When a new product or service or directive comes to your desk, go learn it first and start teaching it to those you manage. Replicate that to the bottom of your organization. Not only will the department that you're in charge of have a tight-knit consistency, but when that person on the bottom rung knows the education is coming from you, then you will maintain their loyalty up through all the levels between you and them. You probably won't find this in your standard college business text, but the concept is fully scalable from the corporate level down to the sole proprietorship. Let me give you another example. For 3 months each year, I bring out my master tax advisor hat and help people save as much of their income from tax liability as legally possible, especially small businesses. Now, I've had many people tell me that the best way to make money is to move through as many returns a day as possible. I've been told I spend too much time on each client with all the talking I do, but I disagree. That approach may be fine when making widgets, but it doesn't work very well with people. When each person sits at my desk, here are some of the steps I go through, although not necessarily in this order. First, I put on my salesman hat and ask how their year went. This lets me know if there's any problems that I need to teach them how to address and what emotions I'm dealing with. Second, I ask what are they planning on changing in the next year. This lets me know what I need to teach them to bring me next year and how it will affect their tax liability. Third, at each step through the tax preparation process, I teach them what I'm doing and why. Fourth, I create forms for them to take home, teach them how to use them, and bring them back to me next year so that they keep better track of their deductions so I can do a better job for them. Fifth, I have to teach new business people what they did wrong setting up their company or bookkeeping system and how to fix it so that I can do the best job for them. Now, there are some tax preparers that believe that you're crazy to teach people how taxes work. They will just go off and do their own and you'll lose a client, and some do. But when they have a problem year, they always come back to see me. People feel comfortable referring friends to me because they trust me. They know I will give them honest advice and I won't jump down their throat to buy anything extra or try to get access to the names and phone numbers of their entire family tree. I simply state I would be happy to help anybody they know that might need some advice also. In fact, because I enjoy teaching my clients to help themselves, I have one of the highest retention and referral rates in the company. I may not be able to handle as many clients per day, but I end up with more clients per season than most. Once people have consumed your educational message and you've earned their trust, they will buy anything from you. Robert Kiyosaki describes our third and most important concept very well in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He says, "Don't do anything for the money you will make, but instead for the skills you will learn." Every good business book out there will tell you not to concentrate on the money. That's just the scorecard. Concentrating on the money is like a horse with blinders on. Not only will it become drudgery, but you will miss out on the opportunities you otherwise would have seen. Let's take some time to examine some examples of how these marketing principles can work in the real world. Normally, when a homeowner wants their house painted, they ask around for references from their friends and neighbors or look in the classified ads. They call several businesses and ask them to come give a price on what they would charge to paint their house. They would then decide who they would trust to do the best job for the money. And notice I didn't say who had the lowest price. After watching this video, Paul decided to try something different. He started spending a little more time examining the house before working up the bid and talking to the homeowner. He then took the homeowner around the house, explaining the problems he saw. He explained how they first have to pressure wash the house, then they sprayed on a sealer. After that dried, they spray on a primer that was tinted properly so the true shade of that color they picked would be the end result. By the time he was done, he had taught the homeowner each step in the process and why it was done. Paul was amazed at the results. Even though his bids were usually a couple $100s higher than some, he was getting more jobs. His prospective clients perceived him as someone who really knew what they was doing and therefore could be trusted to give them their money's worth. Soon word got around that if you had any questions about painting your house, Paul was the guy you needed to call. Within a year, Paul had to hire another crew and taught his crew leaders educational marketing, who taught their entire crews. Paul wanted to make sure that no matter who the client talked to in his company, they would be able to get their questions answered professionally. Paul noticed another change happening in his growing business. The employees who enjoyed learning and teaching were turning out to be his best employees. The ones who didn't were leaving to work elsewhere. As this progressed, his crews became more cohesive and he had less turnover. Needless to say, Paul was pretty happy about the way his business was growing. But as Paul was answering questions from his clients, he noticed that a lot of them were concerned what maintenance was necessary to keep their house looking newly painted. He thought about this for a while and decided to put together a new product, a yearly maintenance contract for pressure washing their house to remove bugs and mildew. He later added gutter cleaning and roof cleaning. Although roof cleaning was only every 5 to 7 years, it is something very few people want to do, and he could charge a higher profit margin for it. Let's look at Larry the landscaper. Larry owned a landscaping business in southern Florida. Having all that warm weather was great for the landscaping business because those yards needed mowing all year long. Of course, that also meant that he had a lot of competition. By using educational marketing, he had gained a solid core of clients and steady referrals. But he wanted to take his business to the next level and have enough business to hire a second crew. In thinking about how to teach more people, he reviewed the skill set list he had created when setting up his business. Larry knows that he had listed that he had been a writer for his high school paper, and that gave him an idea. There was a couple of free community papers that were published in his area. The one he liked best came in the mail once a month. So he decided to go talk to the editor and offer to write, free of charge, a monthly column on landscaping in southern Florida. All he asked in return is the name of his company and phone number listed at the bottom. Since community papers don't have much of a budget, the editor liked the free part, and that it would be one less article he would have to come up with to fill the paper. They agreed to give it a try. After a few months of articles, Larry started getting phone calls asking about landscaping problems. He gladly answered any questions they had and never tried to sell them anything. Word spread that Larry was the expert to talk to if you had a question and you didn't have to worry about a sales pitch. Eventually, many of those people called back and decided to hire Larry's company, and his business grew at a faster pace than he had ever imagined. He noticed another big change in his life. Because he now had so many people looking up to him as an expert in his field, he had to start studying again himself to be able to answer all the questions. And this in return made him an even better landscaper. Harriet finally had her dream come true, her own hair salon. While she brought many of her clients with her when she moved, it was just barely covering the bills. Conventional ads in the paper weren't working too well, and she was not getting enough referrals either. When she read about how teaching sells, it started her thinking. Why not use some of the slow time in the salon and hold a free hair care clinic? So she decided that on Tuesday mornings, no appointments would be booked until 11 a.m. That would allow her to spend between 9 a.m. and 11 to hold her clinics. She put together her information on how to maintain a healthy scalp, how to properly shampoo your hair, how to deal with split ends, and so forth. Then she spread some flyers around and told some of the women's groups in town. She put the coffee pot on and waited, and two people showed up. They listened politely, asked a few questions, and at the end just left. No new clients, no appointments. While some people at this point would tell themselves that this wasn't going to work, Harriet had faith in herself and prepared to do it again the next week. This time, one of the women from the previous week brought two of her friends. Two more had heard about it from their women's groups, and three more showed up who saw the flyers. Eight people. This was more like it. At the end, she simply mentioned when the next clinic would be, what the salon's hours were, and that all the products used in the demonstrations were carried in her salon. She did not ask for appointments or give sales speeches on the product. Afterwards, several women stayed to ask more questions, and this time Harriet got two appointments and sold some of her hair care products. One of the women told her that she had a friend that wanted to come but works during the day. And that prompted Harriet to schedule an evening clinic and advertise it to the business groups in town. Soon the evening sessions were being filled up also. Harriet created several new clinics based on the questions that people asked her and rotated them throughout the year. She had many repeat visitors when she advertised the new clinic, and some brought their friends with them. And it wasn't too long before Harriet's Salon became known as the place you go if you really cared about having a healthy scalp and hair. While all three business people used different methods to teach their prospective clients, there were some common themes running through them. One, they all taught people information based on their skill set. Two, they listened to the questions people were asking. Three, they created new products and service based on those questions. Four, they created new opportunities to teach. Five, they never tried to sell their services or products. And six, people began asking to do business with them. And finally, these concepts are scalable regardless of your business. A lot of people don't want to do the hard work of creating their own business from scratch. And there are plenty of people out there that will be ready to provide a ready-made system. I'll discuss the pros and cons of many types of these businesses in a later video. Even though I don't recommend getting involved in most network marketing or MLM companies because of their high failure rates and legal problems, this sector of the economy creates billions of dollars in sales each year. But we can still learn some marketing lessons from those trying to use them. Choosing a network marketing company has to take into account many of the same aspects of opening a brick and mortar business. You have to have access to your skill set, survey the market, do a revenue analysis, create a strategy, and build your team. The biggest difference between a conventional business and a network marketing business is that in a conventional business, the product or service is where the money is made. In a network marketing structure, your big money comes from building your team. Unfortunately, most people come into the network marketing industry out of desperation, such as they lost their job, excitement, like what an awesome rally I just went to, or just hope to make a better tomorrow for themselves and their kids. Because business ownership is being pursued mainly by people who have never been business owners, most do not have the discipline and skills necessary for success. They joined and operated purely on emotions. They started out with all kinds of excitement, and as they start getting that no, the excitement started dying until they finally quit and tell everybody what a horrible product or business that was. Then they find another company, get all excited again, and do the same process, and again quit. I've seen people do this dozens of times, never figuring out it's not designed to be built the way a conventional business is. But if you think that is what you want to try, then you need to learn how to market it. Because the team is where the money is, network marketing is mainly a people business. The more people recruiting people in your organization who all buy a little, the more commission you make. And since this is a people business, there are a few things that are pretty common when it comes to dealing with them. First, most people are lazy. We now live in a world of increasingly instant gratification. People want it faster, better, easier, and cheaper. Second, every action or decision in life is based on attaining pleasure or avoiding pain. Everyday things as simple as checking your mail. You receive a check, which is pleasure, or you receive a bill, which is pain. Companies capitalize on this. They hold huge rallies that pump everybody up. It feels great until it wears off and you need another dose. Third, the desire to avoid pain is greater than the desire to attain pleasure. People will make every rationalization in the world to avoid a chance of a negative response. Logically, we know that this is ridiculous to feel that way, but it seems to be part of the human fabric of life. Fourth, people will do almost anything to avoid or cure pain. That is why educational marketing works so well. We take away the things that most people feel so uncomfortable doing, like making lists, cold calling, trying to sell products, etc., and replace it with no-pressure teaching. Fifth, people love to learn how to do things, but few actually do them. This human trait has made a fortune for the how-to book and seminar industry. It's also why so few succeed. Sixth, people want what they don't have. I guess that's why we're so fascinated by celebrities and billionaires. People who don't have things gravitate towards those that do have, the people they consider experts or leaders. The human race is so hungry for leadership that they often act like a bunch of sheep waiting for someone to stand up and tell them where to go, even if it's over the cliff. While education marketing will not help the person who won't get off his sofa or miss their favorite soap opera, it will help overcome the basic pleasure or pain scenarios we've discussed above. The approach to marketing in this series of videos is completely contrary to what 95% of network marketers today tell people to do to build their businesses, which could be why we keep hearing about a 95% failure rate among network marketers. The biggest problem is that the standard techniques being taught today were developed 60 years ago. Sure, some of it's now computerized, but the principles are the same. These company representatives tell you to make a list of possible prospects, everyone from your mailman to your old school teacher, and then tell you to make a list of 100 contacts. If you're making a list to retail a quality product that people normally buy anyway, and your intent is to obtain customers, then this approach is sound. Unfortunately, your sponsor wants you to talk to Uncle Bob about building a business. This usually just results in not being invited to the Christmas dinner anymore. Second, they tell you to talk to anybody within 3 feet of you about what a great business you're in. After about the third company you've joined, people will look at you like you're the boy who cried wolf. You'll have no credibility anymore. Third, they recommend you spend $300 to $1,000 a month on internet leads. The problem is that so many other people are also, often for the same product or service. If you're persistent enough and write good enough ad copy to get people to contact you, it is still going to take 4 months to 1 year minimum before you learn recruiting good enough to cover your expenses. And by this time, most people have run out of money or quit. If that's not bad enough, even if you stick it out to that point, then you have to teach the people you sponsored how to do the same thing and hope they don't quit before they get there. It's not a very efficient way of doing things. Fourth, they want you to buy products to give away as samples. While this can get you some retail sales, it's not a very cost-effective way to do business. If you earn their trust, they will buy whatever you recommend without the sample. And fifth, they want you to buy motivational tapes and seminars. These make money only for the people producing them. People that are going to succeed are self-motivated. These products only tend to keep non-committed people to last a few months longer before they quit. Today, there's so many network marketing companies that most people don't even want to listen to you about one anymore. The only efficient and successful way to build your organization is to have people ask to join you. They will want to join you if you're perceived as an expert or leader, and most people need somebody to follow. Just make sure it's a company you can be proud to represent, and that's going to be around 5 years from now, because most are not. At their core, every good marketing or lead generation system has one thing in common. What makes them work as an educational or instructional message that's offered in exchange for money or contact information. In other words, a lead is generated when one person wants to learn something and another person is willing to teach them what they want to know. If you take a look at everyone who is having success attracting people to themselves on the internet, you will find that they're teaching others how to do something. I'm sure you've seen the ads. Learn the 10 things you need to know about internet marketing. Type in your email address and download this free report. They say nothing about their product or business. The only objective here is to begin the relationship. A few days later, you may get an email telling you, "Thanks for downloading our free report, and would you like to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter filled with even more great marketing secrets?" After you've read a few issues of their newsletter and like what you read, you may decide to click on one of the links at the bottom that takes you to their website. Because you are starting to view them as somebody who knows what they're talking about, there's a good chance they will take a serious look at what you have to offer. You have built a relationship that has them coming to you voluntarily instead of pulling them in, dragging and kicking their heels. Once they trust you, then they will be receptive to listening what you have to say. Don't worry, they will ask you what you do when the time is right. Only you can determine what advertising venues you want to do your marketing in. You must first determine who your customers are and where they get their news. Start targeting that market and keep track of what happens. Then try the second most likely advertising venue, or do a combination of different formats. The important thing is to not spend much money until you determine what type of advertising actually brings results. Whether you want to build an internet business or brick and mortar business, you should learn how to market through conventional outlets as well as web formats. We increasingly live in an interconnected, internet-based information society. Conventional businesses must realize that more and more people are going online to research products and services to determine who to do business with. They have found that they can help build customer loyalty by sending informative emails to their clients on a monthly basis. They have found that having a website that people can use to educate themselves increases the likelihood of being chosen over their competitors. Likewise, internet-based businesses have found that sometimes traditional advertising like press releases, white papers, or targeted card decks can cut through all the buzz on the internet to get your prospects' attention. The important thing is that you're aware of all the different types of advertising so that you can find what works best for you. To help you achieve that goal, the next videos in this series cover the basics of offline and online marketing formats. In this video, I've tried to demonstrate that because we now live in an age of information, we must change how we market our businesses, products, and services. We must become marketers of information and use that to build solid relationships with people if we want to ensure our success. We see this around us all the time and probably don't even realize it. Home Depot holds free clinics to teach people how to improve their houses. Financial planners hold free seminars to teach you how to invest your money. And some even provide free meals. Start paying attention to who is giving away a free education on some topic and how they do it. It may be something that would work for you also. In the next video of the series, we will get into the traditional ways of marketing offline and why many are still relevant today and even allow you to stand out from the crowd. So be sure to hit the subscribe button and notifications to let me know you want to be a successful business person. And please consider sharing it with your competitors so we can all benefit. Until next time, I look forward to reading your comments.